Proverbs chapter 10. These are Solomon's Proverbs. A wise son makes his father proud of him, but a foolish one brings his mother grief. Wealth that you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty can save your life. In other words, your life is more important than wealth. And that is not understood by so many people, including many people who are very intelligent in a worldly sense. That the life, as Jesus teaches, is worth far more than clothes and physical things. That's the life we live with God, with Jesus, and the life we shall live eternally. The Lord will not let good people go hungry, but the wicked will never get what they want. So that is God's basic promise to us, that he will always feed us. And David earlier had said that he had never seen the children of the righteous begging bread. It's just like God gave Israel bread, water, and clothing in the wilderness. And Jesus applies that really to us when he says that we should pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, the bread for today." Now this is an incredible promise that God will not let us go hungry. But the problem is we want so much more than food. We want assurance as we see it against the future, lots of money. We want nice houses, we want nice furniture, we want nice games, we want nice electronic gadgets. But God has promised that he will not let us go hungry. Being lazy will make you poor, but hard work makes you rich. Well, that may be Solomon, I think, justifying the way that God gave him riches. And he likes to say, "Yeah, I got it because I worked hard." But as he got older, Solomon, I think, loses it. And we know at the end he did lose it because he went and worshipped other gods. And he married all those women who were not believers, even when he was young. So I think he's justifying himself there because there's plenty of people who work hard all their lives and they never get really rich. And the truth is that wealth is a gift from God. A sensible man, a wise man, gathers and harvests the crops when they're ready. But a fool sleeps throughout the time of harvest. And that is how it is that one has got to work and not be lazy. This is true. But then it is also not true that if you work really hard, then you will get rich, because wealth doesn't come like that. The righteous will receive blessings. Now, this is more like it. Good people and wise people will be remembered and their name will be a blessing, but the wicked are soon forgotten. So the idea is that instead of trying to get rich for ourselves, we should think about what we can do for others. And it is that alone, really, which has consequence beyond the grave. Because if you get as rich as you can, all the same, you are going to die and you can't take that with you. It's only what you do in service to God and his people which will last beyond the grave. Someone who holds back the truth makes trouble, but those who openly criticize actually work for peace. Well, that is true, because there's such a thing as being economical with the truth, not actually saying things that we know are true. And it's really the same as being dishonest, really. Whereas if we are open and frank about our positions, that is the way to build integrity in relationships and to come towards peace. You're never going to get peace with each other if you're dishonest, if you just give half the truth or don't state what the real truth is about something, even though you don't lie. It is better to be open and frank. That's not the same as being rude and nasty, but to be open and frank about what we don't agree with in someone else's position. And that is the way, he says, to peace, and that is absolutely true. There is in the world this idea of nice talk, nice speak, where you just put things in a certain way, but that never engages with the issues. The words of the wise are a fountain of life, but the words of the wicked are destructive. So then, if we are speaking God's words, then we can be a source of life to other people, if we give them the water of life. Hatred, provokes trouble, but love covers all sins. So the way of wisdom and the way of love is to overlook offences. That, oh, you did that and it upset me. Well, you don't necessarily go and start having a big argument with somebody about it. You don't necessarily have to tell people how you feel. But the way of wisdom is to do, I think, what God must do so often, to cover. Not to cover over in the sense of to say it's not significant, but to overlook sin in the sense of not taking issue with us over every sin. If he did, then he would be engaging with us multiple times a day. The reward for doing good is life, but sin leads only downwards to more and more wickedness. So there are here the two upward spirals that, sorry, the two spirals, the downward spiral, the way of sin, sin leads to sin. Once you're weak in one part of your life, then you start being weak in others. Whereas the way of life is to do good, and that strengthens you to be the more obedient to God's ways, and eventually it leads to eternal life. Those who accept correction will live, but those who never admit they are wrong are in danger of death. And this is so true, that the Bible corrects us, and so do experiences. But if we are absolutely persuaded of the narrative that maybe we were brought up with from our parents or from life, that I am right and cannot possibly do wrong, I've never told a lie, my family would never tell a lie, well, he says you're in danger of death. Because what God hates more than anything else is arrogance and pride. And we've all got to realize that we need correction, and no one likes being corrected. But this is the whole path of spiritual life, that we are corrected and convicted of sin. The man who conceals his hatred is a liar, and those who spread gossip are foolish. So then, spreading gossip is so easy, especially with cell phones and internet and things like that. And if we have hatred in our heart for our brother, John says in the New Testament that that's as if we murdered him. But some people think, ah, yeah, I can have hatred for my brother in my heart, but I'll hide it. I'll talk nicely about him. But God sees that you are lying. And all the time you see this huge importance of the human heart, what we really like in our heart. A multitude of words is likely to lead you to sin, and the wise tend to keep quiet. Well, that is true, that the tongue, James says, is this deadly evil. It's really the root of so much sin. And so we should not be overly talkative all the time, wanting to dominate conversations, because the more you talk, given how weak the tongue is and how weak we are more like it at controlling the tongue, the more easily you are going to slip into sin. The words of a good man are like pure silver, but the words of the wicked man are worthless. So there is something valuable in our words if those words are reflecting God's words. The words of the wise bring blessing to many people. And so this is the advantage of speaking wisely, that we can be a source of blessing. But if we just say whatever comes into our head to say, this is speaking of ourselves and not of God. It is the Lord's blessing that brings riches. Working hard will not make you richer. Now, that's right. If wealth comes to you, then this is from God and you've got to use it wisely. And God is overruling all these things, who gets wealthy and who doesn't. And people are so obsessed with getting wealthy. There's whole churches who preach this prosperity gospel that come to us and believe and you'll get wealthy. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The fools take pleasure in doing wrong, whereas the wise take pleasure in the way of wisdom. And so that's how it should be for us, that we do not find pleasure in sin. When we sin, something that we bitterly regret and was not pleasurable at the time. Whereas we can live a happy life if we take pleasure in the way of wisdom. The wicked receive their fears, whereas the righteous shall get the heart's desire. Well, that is only true ultimately. And it's not talking about material things, but what the wicked fear deep inside them is to be condemned by God, and that is what will happen. Their fears will come upon them, whereas the desires of the righteous are above all things to be in God's kingdom, and they will get that. The wind and the rain and the storms may blow, and they will blow the wicked away, but the righteous will be always safe. Well, you can see that the Lord Jesus read those words and made his parable about the house on the rock and the house on the sand out of them. Because indeed the storms came, and the wicked and his house were blown away. But the honest and the righteous, their house didn't, because it was founded on the rock of obedience to God's ways. Don't ask the lazy to do anything for you, because it will be like vinegar on your teeth or smoke in your eyes. So that is asking us to be wise in how we look at people. We're not judging people in the sense of saying, you lazy person will not be saved. It's not for us to say who will or won't be in the kingdom. But it is fair enough to say, yeah, look, that person is lazy. Obey the Lord and you will live. The wicked will die. Well, that is true ultimately only in the kingdom, because in this life, as the Bible writers often complain or note, shall we say, the wicked appear to prosper and have a long life and great time, whereas the righteous often die young, as Jesus did. The hope of the righteous leads to joy, but the wicked have nothing to expect. They've got nothing that they can look forward to in hope. Whereas our hope is the hope of the kingdom. And that is what leads to joy. And that is a hope that gets stronger and stronger as you get older and doesn't diminish. If your hope is only for more money, more wealth, bigger house, extra rooms in your house, and all this sort of thing, well, all that comes and goes. The Lord protects the just, but destroys the wrongdoers. Well, that is, again, only true in the end, at the day of judgment. The righteous will be safe forever, but the wicked will not inherit the earth. Again, this is talking about the day of judgment. The righteous man speaks wisdom, but the tongue that speaks wickedness is going to be stopped. The righteous speak kindly, but the wicked are always speaking hurtful things. Well, there you are, you see. How we speak really determines the outcome of our eternal life. That's why Jesus said, but by your words you'll be justified and by your words you will be condemned. And we've got to ask whether the things we're saying are hurtful or whether they are kind. To tell somebody, you are this, that, or the other, you're a bad person, you're this, you're that, or the other, and making people feel bad about themselves, let alone saying, you can't come to the church, or you can't take the bread and wine. This is hurtful, this is spiteful, and this is the way of the wicked. Whereas the way of the righteous is to speak kindly. And really, as we've seen here, when he keeps saying, this happens to the righteous and this happens to the wicked, he's really ultimately talking about the day of judgment. And in the day of judgment, we will be judged by our words. And so really, we must really look at our tongue. And this is just what James says in the New Testament, that the way we speak is the basis upon which we are going to be judged.